This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us. Hello, Rick.
Good morning, Bill. Or hello, Bill, I should say. I'm getting hungry already, man.
All right. Okay. Well, this is the time, I think, time of year to do that, I guess, with the Thanksgiving tomorrow. Coming up in today's...
Hey, you know, listen. I have to say this. I have to say, even before we get started, sorry to interrupt, but listen. I saw some people yesterday. They say they wish Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. That's all cool. And everybody says, don't eat too much. And my response is like, really? On Thanksgiving, don't eat too much? What planet are you from? You know, if there's one day to eat too much, isn't it Thanksgiving?
Yeah, and the problem is it's this whole holiday season. Folks are, you know, if you're in the workplace, people are bringing food in that don't usually do that. And there's always some kind of a snack or something around you got to try, right? You got to have some cookies or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, in the program today, Steve Krause is going to join us in just a few moments. He's the news editor from the Daily Item of Lynn. We'll talk about some of the news of the day, some of those economic development stories we touched on the website earlier this week, and also talk some Thanksgiving football, because he actually has some Thanksgiving football interviews on his website, theitemlive.com, some videos that... We're kind of encourage you to go down and check out with Steve down on the itemlive.com website. And I'm looking at the front page of the item today, Rick, and there are the stories on Black Friday. There's the stories on shop locally. So those are the things that we're seeing locally here in the newspapers.
Yeah. Do your daughters get involved in that, in the Black Friday stuff? You know, because you do have a grandson now, and I'm just I'm wondering. My wife used to a long time ago when my daughter was smaller, but now it's like, nah, I think we'll sleep in.
No, they don't go out. I can't imagine them going out. I don't think they have gone out, so no, they won't. They wouldn't go out. So nope, not going to happen. I don't think so.
Now, anything? And you got anything in mind for Black Friday? You don't do
no,
anything?
No, I don't do that. No, I'm sorry, I won't be.
I
out.
Went once. I went once when I met. When I met my now wife, first Thanksgiving when we were going together, we did the Black Friday thing, and I remember the beads of cold sweat I had on my forehead as we got onto Route 114, and it's just a feeling I don't want to have anymore. So now I try to avoid all that stuff. And there's football on Friday, so you know, plenty of football to watch.
I had to go to the mall, actually not even the mall, but to Saugus on Route 1 last Sunday, I think it was. And so I'm in the store, and I'm headed over there, and I go, whoops, this is all of a sudden, this has changed. This is not the regular Sunday afternoon. This is not Sunday afternoon the way it was before. This is not the way I remember it. It's either Saturday or Sunday. I get in line, and so I'm buying, I think, one thing, and the woman in front of me kind of turns to me. This was Saturday, actually, now that I remember. And she said, it's all changed, hasn't it? You know, all of a sudden, it's all crowded. And, you know, I was going up Route 1, so I didn't have to worry about the traffic. But that little stretch from Walnut Street down to the Square One Mall is always tough during this time of year on the weekends, or Black Friday for sure, just as I'm sure it's busy. It's out in the Burlington Mall on 128 and up in Peabody at the North Shore Mall and so on. So the things have changed. People are out at the stores, and I guess that's good for the stores, that's for sure, but just be aware it's going to take you a little extra time now.
It is that time of year. All right, Bill, I want to take a look at a recurring story, if I may, that's in the Gloucester Times headlines by Ray Lamont. Why offers $5.1 million for the Fuller site? The group is planning 170 housing units, commercial space, and, of course, a new YMCA. And this has been in the making for quite some time ago when former Mayor Kirk was pushing this, and that administration let the Fuller School rot, not pulling any maintenance on it. And for a long time, it had the most beautiful auditorium that the Cape Ann Symphony used to perform in. That was their home base. Beautiful cafeteria, the most beautiful cafeteria in the city, I think. And two terrific gyms, but that all went to rot. And now the Y is offering $5.1 million for the site. And I read in the article in here the land assessment of the land and the property there at Blackburn Circle a couple of years ago was valued at $19 million, and it subsequently came down to about $15 million. And now apparently it's down to 13 million, but the Y is offering 5 million for it. So just an update on the latest from the Fuller School story.
Well, I think we should go to Steve in just a moment here. We have an interview with Steve Krause coming up here, but let's just talk a little Thanksgiving football and let the folks know what's coming up here on the website this weekend. Beginning Wednesday night, tonight, we have St. Mary's and Bishop Fenwick from Manning Field and Lynn at 6 o'clock. St. John's Prep, by the way, is playing at Fenway Park this afternoon at 4 o'clock against Xaverian. So they're using that football field that Boston College and Notre Dame used Saturday night. And then on Thanksgiving Day, we've got a lot of games covered. We've got the Gloucester-Danvers game with live streaming video. We also have the Lynn English Lynn classical game on Channel B on Thanksgiving morning at 10 o'clock. And we'll have Marty Smith over at the Salem-Beverly game in Salem at Bertram Field with reports. And you can hear those on Channel B. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're able to check in with Scott Cooper from Marblehead with the Swampscott Marblehead game. So those are our games this week here on MSO News Sports. We'll check back in just a few moments. But, Rick, do you have something to say, too, about Thanksgiving football at all? You were at the captain's thing yesterday?
Yeah, the Gloucester-Danvers captains have a luncheon put on by the Kiwanis in Gloucester. It was at the Elks Club. The captains, the Danvers school administration was there. Gloucester's Dr. Sapphire was there, the superintendent of schools. The athletic directors, Andy St. Pierre from Danvers, Kim Patience from Gloucester were there. And, of course, the coaches and the captains. And it was very cordial, very low-key. The captains each got to say a few things about their respective teams. And I have videos of each of the captains and the coaches that have been uploading for quite a while now, but they ought to be posted sometime during the day, if not by the time this show is posted. So we will have the Danvers and Gloucester captains, and I hope to talk to both coaches before the game tomorrow in our pregame show.
All right, sounds good. All right, so Steve Krause is up next. We'll be back in just a little while as well, so stay with us here. This is North Shore Today.
Joining us, Steve Krause, news editor from the Daily Item in Lynn. And Steve, I think one of the big stories this week in the city of Lynn was the fact that a lot of dignitaries visited the city of Lynn. Governor Baker was here. Congressman Seth Moulton was in Lynn. And they were all on the front steps of City Hall, front page story, I know, in Tuesday's item, because they were here on Monday morning. And I guess a little bit about this whole economic development piece. To me, what was said at that thing on Monday was a little vague, but it sounds to me as if it's a new collaborative effort, which hopefully would be then successful and then kind of replicated around the state in other areas.
Bill, the guy that is kind of the driving force behind this, the city and the city's leadership for sure. But Jay Ash from the state's economic development guy has been very good and very attentive to Lynn since he took over and joined the Baker administration. And he came to Lynn earlier this year for a little bit of a workshop on what his visions are when he goes into one of these projects, because he also, helped revitalize Chelsea too. And, he said the first thing that we need to do is everybody's got to be on the same page. Yeah. You can't have discord. You can't have people who are responsible, for implementing these things. You can't have them arguing. You can't have agendas. You can't have little private things that take your eye off the ball. And one of the things he said was that the minute he sees that, he's out of here. He's going to go on to something else that can bear some fruit. So it was a very stern warning at the time. That, Lynn, get your act together and get your ducks in a row so that when it's time to get going, we can get going. Congressman Moulton has said last week, and then he again said Monday, Lynn's time is now. And, all I can think of is that line that Robin Williams used in Dead Poets Society, Carpe Diem, seize the day. If Lynn's time is now, then seize the day. Let's do things. And what is nice about this is that for the first time, and I'm a Lynn guy, I grew up here, I live here now. I wasn't always conscious of these things, but from the time I started being conscious of them until now, this is really the first time that I can recall that anybody you talk to within the city's sphere of leadership, whether it's public or private sector, it doesn't matter. Anybody that you talk to shares this vision, shares this knowledge and understanding that there's a short window for these things. And if our time is now, you got to move. So what you need to do now is you need to set some priorities. And one of the things that Bill Ash is the pizza guy in Revere. Jay Ash, one of the things that Jay Ash said was that, you know, you have to establish and work on doable goals. It's okay to shoot for the moon, but somewhere along the way, you have to get a little momentum going. And the way that you get a little bit of momentum going is you establish doable goals. Now, a couple of weeks ago, all those people were down behind the old GE gear plant in Lynn, you know, with Arthur T. Demoulas. Arthur T. Talking about a new market basket down there. That'd be great. But the thing that made that good was that the state has pledged to, you know, give us a little bit of a grant so that we can put some access and improve the infrastructure around the place. As Charlie Patio, which is another one who was a behind-the-scenes guy in all of this, said that everybody thinks that the accomplishment is the building, but the accomplishment is all the work that goes into the building. It was also very good to see Patios and Joe O'Donnell standing on those City Hall steps, because they both own the land on the Linway that, you know, we're trying to target, make it better.
Yeah. Now, totally different from what we were talking about. But on that Market Basket property, if you go down Western Avenue, there's a wide open paved area. Then there's a second one. Which one is the Market Basket on? Is you're headed south on Western?
The first one is behind the firehouse. I don't think that's...
That's big enough. Big enough.
It's the second one, because they're going to utilize the building. And I don't know what they're going to do.
There's an existing building there? Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's
okay.
a vacated gear plant.
Okay.
It's called GE Factory of the Future.
No, I remember that. So it's not so. So it's the Market Basket of the Future now.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think if Market Basket goes in Lynn, I think probably 50% of the traffic up Highland Avenue in Salem will be reduced. Don't you think?
If you live in Salem, you have to be thrilled. All I know is that if I ever have to go into Salem, I have to leave myself 20 extra minutes to get any place I want to go, regardless of whether it's Halloween. So, you might be a little bit of a, you know, now if they, you know, Target's everywhere, including in Salem, I'm sure that adds to a lot of it, too.
Well, you know, Steve, we were going up Shore Drive the other day, headed to Beverly, and I have a nice route that takes me through Swampscott, Marblehead, Salem, beautiful route right to downtown Beverly, you know, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Middle of the day, no traffic. But, man, I hit every construction site in the last week that you could think of last, you know. So it took me, like, a long time to get there. But you're right. I actually, you know, it's not too bad. Halloween's the worst, but for sure. But you can hit the, you know, skirt around the perimeters of downtown Salem and get through there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not that way all the time. But go there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon until about 6 and... Yep. You know, you could age a year.
There you go. Well, you know, so that's kind of exciting about the development piece for Lynn. And I guess, are there going to be kind of, you know, offline, kind of behind the scenes meetings to try to map this plan out?
Well, there was one after the public thing yesterday. They went all down to the Lynn Museum and had their first planning meeting. You know, one of the things that, you know, to Lynn's credit, one of the things that it did before any of this came along was they spent a lot of time between the city council and the delegation at Beacon Hill sorting out all the different zoning issues city and changed zoning for like the lower Boston Street and Lynn from light business to, you know, regular. And, you know, that was a tangled mess, apparently, you know. But they've straightened a lot of that out. They have big plans for the downtown area, which, you know, when you see some other cities and see what they've done, and I look at, well, Somerville is the one that I look at the most, the mm-hmm. Davis Square area. But I also look at Salem. I can remember driving through Riley Plaza in Salem, and it looked like a war zone at one time. Now it's pretty busy. It's pretty bustling now.
Right.
You know, they've done an awful a lot of good things in Salem. And, you know, if it, it Lynn can do that, too. I think it will.
Yeah. No, you're right. And then you and you got another area of Lynn, the waterfront area in Lynn, which is, which I, you know, which is kind of, it throws back to many years ago, but it's kind of the industrial, you know, along the waterfront. I'm talking down by the Kelly Honda area down in that way, the Walmart, all those areas, which are actually close to the ocean, not necessarily right on the ocean, but there's a lot of areas in a, I think a lot of plans for that area too, eventually.
Well, Patios owns the land on one side and O'Donnell owns the land on the other side. And I know both of them pretty much share the same vision, mixed usage, things like that, which is one of the reasons why I think a lot of us are upset with the MBTA, or at least the commuter rail division of the MBTA, for reducing the service. I mean, it runs absolutely, totally counter to what we're trying to do here, because we're trying to attract people that for whom Boston might be a little bit too expensive. So you get them to come to Lynn, you get a commuter rail, take you right into Boston. They come out with a schedule that reduces the service.
Yeah.
That, you know, that doesn't work. And of course, the other thing, the ultimate thing would be to, if they could ever just get it together and get the subway expanded into Lynn. You know, there's a real pet peeve of mine, because they're going to spend all this money now to extend the Green Line into two communities that already have transit. You know, Somerville has transit with Davis Square, and now they opened up a new station on the Orange Line in Somerville. And Medford, too. Medford has Orange Line service, too. And the Green Line's going to go through Somerville and into Medford. And my question is, why? Yeah. You know, in the meantime, you have Lynn. You know, the only way we can get in, other than to drive to Revere, is to go over a bridge or through a tunnel and pay.
Yeah.
So I just think that if you were looking at a big picture here, the need would be greater in Lynn than it would have been in the places that they have the plans for. Yeah. Don't understand it.
No, and just to follow up on that, I'm wondering if you could do this. Would take money to do this, but if you had a direct bus line for, say, from downtown Lynn, maybe two stops in Lynn, and then the next stop was at Wonderland. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, that it didn't float around and drive around the city of the North Shore, but
well, there used to be one. It wasn't an MBTA bus. It was just an old bus called Service Bus or something like that. I can remember it, and it went straight from Revere, Wonderland and Revere to Central Square. But, you know, as the MBTA did what it did, it got bigger. I remember the Eastern Mass Railway. I'm old enough to remember that. And, you know, it just, MBTA kind of took, it all came under the MBTA's umbrella. And these bus companies kind of went out of business.
Yeah.
But I do remember, as one who commuted to Northeastern University from Lynn for 5 years, I got to know all the buses, all the subways, and all of the everything. And, you know,
you absolutely did. That was, but before that, you were jumping on the stagecoach in Central Square and heading down to the amusement parks down at Revere Beach.
Well, that was my mother.
All right, Steve. Let's maybe just follow up with a couple of notes here on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving football. I know, of course, you covered Thanksgiving football for a number of years. Your beloved Prep is playing at Fenway Park on Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock against Xaverian and. I don't know. Maybe you want to plug a little bit about what the newspaper is doing, because I'm sure it's a huge day for the item with Thanksgiving.
It's probably going to sound heretical to my Prep peeps, but I'm not down with this Fenway Park thing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, it's a work day. You know, but be that as it may, we have a special Thanksgiving Day preview section tomorrow, contained within the sports pages. All the schools are previewed. We got histories of the games from years past. And plus, I really want to plug anybody that wants to go on itemlife.com and see all the videos that we did in anticipation of the Thanksgiving Day games. We did videos, videos each rivalry in our immediate area, plus the Lynn Lions and St. Mary's. So we had Classical English, Swampscott Marblehead, Saugus Peabody, Tech in its new game was Austin Prep.
Yeah.
And the Lynn Lions versus St. Mary's in 1961 is sort of a historical perspective on the thing all these many years later. So we have games from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the thousands.
You know, all these old timers. You got Dick Newton on there, but if you go on Item Live, just scroll over to the right, kind of down a little bit. They're all right there, and you can mm-hmm. see them. And so I was able to watch one of them, but they're all there. And you got a new career in front of you, Steve, as a host of these things.
I don't think I should quit my day job anytime soon, Bill. But I will say this though, that they were an awful lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
I had a nice conversation with Sam Perlo of Marblehead and Chris Cameron of Swampscott about that 2008 game that was for pretty much all the marbles. And it was a great game besides. And, you know, all the things leading up to it, the Marblehead really was up against it, and they made a game out of it. And that might have been the favorite one of the ones I did. I hosted four of them, and Maureen Mullen hosted two.
Yeah. All right, I saw yours. I saw one of yours. The other thing, just to maybe last question, Steve, and that is, you know, Thanksgiving, I was talking with some of our guys the other day about this, and, like, think about the Salem-Beverly game that I was associated with for so many years. It was a big game when you had Hamer and Perrone coaching against one another because they were always good, always drew big crowds, probably the biggest crowds on the North Shore. But you just mentioned Swampscott Marblehead. And, you know, that to me, it's really unfortunate with the playoff system we have now that game can't really mean anything like it used to. It used to be the rivalry game. Mm-hmm. And often with those two teams over the years, you know, going back over the last 20 years or so, that game meant something. You know, it wasn't unusual that there was a title on the line, as you were just referring to. And it's unfortunate now that can't happen.
I went to the old timers dinner Monday night and got into a discussion about this with Dick Baker, who works with the MIAA yeah. now, and he's former athletic director of Swampscott. We're on different sides of this issue. I liked it better the way it was before, but I'm an old man now. You know, I'm 62. All old men like things better the way they were before. But I go back, way back to the time when more than a Super Bowl, more than anything else, if you won your league title, it was a great year. Yeah. And what I loved about those Thanksgiving Day games back then is at least one of them, every year, the league title was in the balance. And, of course, in those days, if you got to the Super Bowl, great. You had to go through some Byzantine rating system that the Globe's Larry Ames and Marvin Pave cooked up. And I used to criticize it all the time. I was one of the biggest critics of it back in the day. But I look back on it now, and boy, I'll tell you, I wish they had it back. I don't like the fact that the MIAA is trying to make football like every other sport, because at this age level, football is not like every other sport. You know, you get hurt, you know, all of a sudden you're doing all this stuff and you're getting hurt. And you know what? I just liked it better when, if you won your league title, it was a great year. And you go back and ask any of these pre-Super Bowl teams. I mean, you know, Dick Geron never played in a Super Bowl. You go back and ask any of these people, I would be willing to bet you that all of them who still follow this would agree with me that, you know, Thanksgiving, aside from the rivalries, which it always means something, but somewhere along the line in a 10-team Northeastern Conference, Thanksgiving Day meant there were league titles in the balance. So it just kind of gave it a little bit of an extra air of anticipation on top of all the rivalries.
Right. And I think that the reiteration or the whatever the word I'm looking for, but after the Larry Ames point system, where I believe it was Winthrop at one time went undefeated one year or went to the Super Bowl one year. Then the following year they go undefeated and don't qualify for the Super Bowl. Things like that. I think it happened to Natick too, if I'm not mm-hmm. mistaken. But to me, like having your league champion send you into the playoffs, I am, you know, something, I don't care if you're the ultimate state champion or not. You know what I'm saying? Because who's to say, you know, with the way we have our formats now, whether we get the actual champions or not. Yeah, I guess we do, but I would rather have that league game, you know, the leagues count. And I didn't mind the two-tiered NEC. That's fine with me, you know, because it's a decent-sized league and, you know, let people go to the playoffs. But have your games just count, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, you know, even in the MIAA, to which credit, did fix this a little bit this year because once teams were eliminated, they went back to playing teams within their areas. Like, you know, if Swampscott is 0-9 and Salem is 1-8 and they're playing, it's still Swampscott versus Salem. There's a history that goes along with that. You know, Classical plays Beverly. It doesn't matter who's 1-8 and who's 8-1. It's Classical Beverly. It's been a great rivalry through the years. It's not the Thanksgiving rivalry, but it's been a great rivalry. English, you know, Peabody or English Winthrop.
Yep.
I mean, there's some history there. And that's, you know, for those of us who like that sort of thing, that's what matters.
And I will say this. I mean, I try not to be close-minded on this piece here, but when you look at some of the playoff games that we had on the North Shore this year, example, Everett playing at Peabody, I was at that game. There was a huge crowd for that game. That was a fantastic night. And there are a number of other games that had fantastic crowds. So, you know, I give them that, but I just think that part works. And it gave teams a second chance, like St. Mary's that might have lost during the year, Danvers that might have lost during the year, Beverly, you know, different teams that might have lost during the year, they come back and do things. But yet, on the other hand, it does take, and this is my last comment here, it does kind of take away from your regular season, which I still think is the, as you were saying earlier, I agree with you, that's where it should be based on.
Well, I also think all of this has to start with the premise that football is not like any other sport. You play basketball 3 nights a week. Yeah. You play 20-something games. There's a tournament. Yeah, people are going to get hurt, but there isn't the physical pounding. You know, hockey, maybe a little bit more, but not both of those games, you can do that sort of thing. There can be that winnowing process out because you're playing 20-something games. Play a lot of games. So when your season ends, it ends. But in football, you only play 9 or 10. And it's a rough game. You know, nobody escapes a season without some kind of bumps and bruises. It's just one of those things. And I think the extra added stress of all this playoffs and championships and everything like that on top of school, on top of the physical factor, I just think we sometimes expect too much out of these kids.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. I did like the playoff game the Friday night before Thanksgiving. It caught us a little surprise in preparing for Thanksgiving. You usually have like 10 days to get ready for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I do like the idea of playing that Friday night game like Melrose and Danvers played last week, right, opposed to, or the weekend St. Mary's, yeah, played East Bridgewater on Saturday, opposed to waiting until the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Well, there's a couple of extra days for people to heal. I mean, you go on a Thursday, and then you're playing on a Tuesday like that old system was. That's what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days. And, you know, man, I'll tell you, toward the end of a football season, you're not even getting out of bed without pain until day three. And, you know, I think this gives you just a little bit more time to heal from Friday or Saturday to Thursday. Maybe an extra day.
But you know what it means, Steve, is it means that you play that playoff game before Thanksgiving, but then it also is sending the signal, hey, Thanksgiving doesn't really matter. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a big thing. I mean, one of the things that they've done with this whole playoff system is pretty much neuter Thanksgiving, unless there are teams that choose to do that. Now, St. Mary's and Bishop Fenwick did not play during the regular season. They met in the playoffs, but didn't play in the regular season. In St. John's Prep and Xaverian didn't play in the regular season. Swampscott and Marblehead are in different divisions of the Northeastern Conference, so they didn't have to play before Thanksgiving or in the playoffs. That part of it is starting to sort itself out. I think both Fenwick and St. Mary's, if I'm not mistaken, lost to Cardinal Spelman. So I don't think that the Catholic Central League title is hanging in the balance unless, you know, Fenwick wins and Archie's beats Spelman. But even then, you know, they got the head-to-head. So I don't think that's an issue, although it could have been.
Yeah.
Catholic Conference title is definitely up for grabs with the Prep and Xaverian, because they were both undefeated within the league. But here you got a situation now where should the Prep win, Xaverian's already in.
Yeah.
You know, so you got a league champion that beat the guy that played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too many incongruous things here.
And then you got Zverian that didn't play last weekend. You know, you think in Division One you'd have the most competition of any of the divisions, but, you know, whatever. All right, we're out of time. We'll stop right there. And, Steve, wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Hope it's a restful time for you. I'm sure it won't be, though. You can probably bet on that, being the news editor here at The Item. But anyways, to you and your family, a healthy and happy Thanksgiving and a great holiday season ahead.
Bill, you too. Where are you going to be? Beverly?
No, I'll be at Manning Field again this year. I've been there a number of years now. Be at Manning Field on Thanksgiving.
With whom?
With Tim Kearns, veteran announcer Tim Kearns.
Veteran and longtime school friend from second grade on, Tim Kearns. Yeah. Give him my best.
I will. All right, Steve, always good talking with you. That's Steve Krause, news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn. And again, check out those videos previewing Thanksgiving football on itemlive.com. This is msonewsports.com.
The Lynn Auditorium has some great shows coming to the North Shore soon. Treat yourself to an evening out in a comfortable premier entertainment venue. Upcoming shows include Melissa Etheridge, Friday, January 15th. The following night, Saturday the 16th, Get the Lead Out, the Led Zeppelin tribute band. Then Chicago arrives Friday, February 5th. Johnny Mathis on his 60th anniversary concert tour comes Friday, April 8th. For more shows, more information, visit LynnAuditorium.com or call 781-599-SHOW or contact Ticketmaster.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
Since 1897, the Lynn Museum has celebrated the history of one of America's most consequential cities. Recently merged with Lynn Arts, we are working to build a dynamic cultural hub where our past comes to life and new art is created. Now on display, Present Tense, a Lynn Arts exhibit, open through December 19th, showcasing the contemporary work of our Lynn Arts community. The Lynn Museum is located at 590 Washington Street and open Wednesday and Friday 12 to 4, Thursday 12 to 7, Saturday 10 to 3. Find us online at lynnmuseum.org.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
Welcome back to North Shore Today, putting the final wraps on our program for this Wednesday, the busiest travel day of the year, although I guess some folks have said now that it's yesterday was the busiest travel day of the year. I'm not sure that's true, but I know that Tuesday is a lot busier than it used to be years ago. People used to have to work until sometime during the day on Wednesday, but now I guess today is still a very busy travel day, so good luck to you if you have to go out there. Just like to remind folks, too, that they can contact us with our email at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. And what else, Rick, would you like to say?
Well, just be careful, obviously, you know, with the way the world is today and the traffic. The traffic on locally for us on the North Shore, 128, gets really bad for long hours of the day. And I know that I'll be leaving tonight very early to get from Cape Ann down to Manning Field. So that's the main thing. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll keep it going. Looking forward to the game tonight and tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun.
Gotcha. All right. So that's our broadcast for today. Again, tonight, Wednesday night, it's Fenwick and St. Mary's, 6 o'clock, Manning Field. Then on Thanksgiving Day, English Classical, Radio, Danvers, Gloucester, streaming video, and reports on the Beverly-Salem game. With Rick Moore and the Daily Item news editor Steve Krause, I'm Bill Newell. Have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. This is MSONewsSports.com.